we're so thankful to have her with us this morning. I want to say welcome to everyone in our sanctuary this morning. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us, and those on Facebook, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and worshiping with us this morning. And those who will be listening by way of CD later on this week or either on our website, we thank you for joining us this morning. A couple of announcements I'd like to share with you this morning. Our church office will be closed this Wednesday and Thursday in observance of Thanksgiving. And there are two angels left on our angel tree out in the foyer. If you so wish, we'd love for you to grab one and sponsor one of the angels. Or if you want to, you can be with our sponsor one of the forgotten angels, ages 9 to 12. Bring all the gifts of you back here Sunday, December the 6th. And another announcement that you won't find anywhere is on December the 13th, all the ladies and gentlemen that have been singing each week, we will be putting on some Christmas celebration, and each group will sing solos or duets or quartet, and we'll have some instrumentalists coming to perform, and we'll just have a time of celebration through Christmas music. So I hope you will join us at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary, a time of Christmas music. Also on the 13th, we will have our church council meeting at 4 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock we'll have a roundtable meeting that day. So a busy day on December 13th. If the ladies will come on so we can worship together. And also I want you to be in prayer for David. He is on vacation this week, and he is much needed vacation, he and his family. So be in prayer as he's in Florida, resting and hopefully getting some time of rest, and there, just be with him, be in prayer for him, that he'll come back next week well rested and ready to serve our church and our community. And we also would like to welcome Jeff Pritchard. He is no stranger to our church, and he will bring the message that God has laid on his heart, and be in prayer as he brings that message in just a few minutes. Let's stand and let's worship together. Give thanks.
Give thanks to the Holy Spirit. psalms. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May we pray. Lord of all creation, we give you thanks, not only with our lips, but also with our heart and mind and soul. Every day is a gift, each day a blessing. Open our eyes to see your living presence in each other. Help us grow stronger each day in faith, hope, and love. We ask you this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Come Ye Thankful People Come. Let's stand and let's worship together and the words are on the screen behind me. Fun time, December the 11th.
job of pastors. Tough. I used to pick on them and say, well, you know, we work on Sunday, so what's the big deal? But that is far from the truth. They work all the time. So I pray that David and his family get the much rest that they need. You know, I don't feel particularly gifted or qualified to get up here and talk about anything, but nevertheless, I agree to fill in for David. I do think I have something that could be beneficial for us that God wants us to hear. I want to share with you, before I get started, I did share this morning, but I was telling somebody about it between services. I started a garage ministry at God's leading after 2 years of telling God no, or that I didn't have time, or I didn't feel qualified. One day I became obedient, and I put out a letter to the neighborhood. They put out 72 letters of men, well, not men, on every mailbox that I walked past, asking men to come together in my garage and have ministry together. And that was pretty well received. I had 13 men show up the first time. And we had some great fellowship, and we met a few times, and COVID came, of course, so we kind of had it. But we got back together since then. Yesterday was our second meeting. And one of the men present shared something that was just, it just gave me goosebumps. You ever had one of those stories that just gave you goosebumps about how God was working? Anyway, he said that he has a neighbor across the street that he sees frequently. In fact, it's probably been 6 to 8 months since he's seen the guy prior to this. And he just knew God. God put it on his heart to call this guy. Just, he said he knew it was God telling him to call this guy. He said, okay, God, I'll call him. But he didn't get around to him. Something happened. You know how it is. We don't act immediately. And then things get in the way. We get busy. And there you go. We miss a blessing often because we didn't take time to slow down. So a couple of days passed. The guy called him. He said he saw his cell phone. He had the guy's name. He had his number from him. The time passed. He just thought, goodness. Is that God calling me? Because I didn't call so-and-so across the street. So he talked to me. He really needed him right then. He needed to really spend some time and show God's love to him, to help this guy through a hard time. So God spoke to him and had him call him, but he didn't call the other guy calling him. So that was just something. I mean, that's just how God works. As we sometimes say, and I don't want to say it that way because we're diminishing it, but that's just the God thing. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Who could have taken it? God's wisdom is far better than anything we could imagine. But today, I know you can see in the bulletin, the title, if you will, for today is More Than Unconditional. So with that being said, I want to jump right into to what we have today. I believe unconditional love is something truly to be thankful for as we approach Advent and certainly Thanksgiving this week. Many of us, our plans for Thanksgiving have been upended a little bit or changed. Some of them may not. Nevertheless, we can all be thankful, whether we're one person or a group of 100, right? We all can be thankful. We all got something to be thankful for. Before I want to read what the psalmist David was writing when he was trying to express thanks and trying to express God's love. It's in Psalm 36. It's not in the listed in your bulletin, but if you'd like to turn, it'll take you just a second. It's 5 through 10. It's a short passage in the middle of the Psalm 36, where David is trying to express the type of love that God has. In fact, there's a Christian contemporary song, I believe it may be, could be Third Day, don't hold me to that. It has very much these as lyrics. It says, Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast from the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright. With these words, the psalmist David attempts to capture the wonder and the power of God's love. Have you ever tried to explain something in words or express something in words and you just can't find the right words? Or it feels like they're not enough? You just don't reach that magnitude of what you're trying to say? I think we've all experienced that. I know John in Revelation was trying to explain glimpses of the throne room, and he was talking about streets of gold and gates of emeralds, and he was just trying to come up with a way to describe what he was seeing. He was so overwhelmed. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by God's love? It is something he wrote about frequently, David Wood, out of his life. Yet though he piled superlative upon superlative and pushes the limits of language, he seems to know that the love of God can never really be adequately expressed in words. All he can do is invite others to come and taste for themselves. Remember this passage he writes, taste and see. Take a sample and see for yourself. Is it any different for us today, having this difficulty, any easier for us to talk about the all-encompassing love of God? Have you ever heard someone say that God deals with unconditional love? Most of the time when we say this, we are actually looking for a way to express how generous and complete his love is for us, which is true. But is that the best we can do? I'd like to propose that God's love is much different and better than unconditional. Unconditional love, as most of us understand it, begins with and ends with sympathy and empathy, with blanket acceptance. It accepts you as you are with no expectations. You, in turn, can take it or leave it. But think about what God's love for you is like. God does not calmly gaze on you in benign affirmation. God cares too much to be unconditional in his love. Watching your child playing a sporting event is a good example. While you're watching your child, you have unconditional love for most of the kids on the field. I mean, you generally accept them and love them and care for them. But when it's your own child, and you're watching intently your own child's performance, and they become injured or bullied or some kind of injustice arises, that feeling of protection because we have a love for our child. It's strong, intense reaction. Sometimes that reaction we take about our human sin, but sometimes it's for our pride. We're going to be proud for our son and say, hey, my son didn't commit that foul. It was a wrong call or something like that. But in God's word, we see what the perfect reaction looks like. In Psalm 121 and Hosea 11:14 and Isaiah, just to name a few places in God's word, this is what the word says about the Lord. It says the Lord watches. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. I remember watching that. I used to, when I taught the elementary school kids upstairs, I'd bring Leave It to Beaver. You believe it that they love Leave It to Beaver. I thought they'd laugh me out of the room. They want to see it. They want to take it home. They want to take the DVD home. But anyway, there's a scene where Leave It to Beaver did something. He's always getting in trouble. It's always a lesson. And his mom was talking to him, June, I think, right? She was sitting talking upstairs in his bedroom and said, he had lied about something. He said, you know, God sees us all. He says, he can see plumb through the roof. Yeah, God can see plumb through the roof. The Lord cares for us. What his children do and what happens to them matter to him. His watching, caring, and concern are intense, complex, specific, and personal. Unconditional love is nowhere as good as or compelling. In comparison, unconditional love is detached, general, it's unconditional. God's love is much, much better. God's love is active. He could have condemned instead of shown love. Who would deny that we didn't deserve condemnation? Can anybody here say, not me, I didn't deserve it? I think if we're all honest, we'll recognize and we look at ourselves, we realize that we all deserve condemnation. His love is involved. He is merciful, not simply tolerant. He hates sin, yet he pursues sinners by name. God is so committed to forgiving and changing you that he sent his one and only Son to die for us. His love is full of blood, sweat, tears, and cries. He suffered for us. He fights for us. Defending the afflicted, he fights with you, pursuing you in powerful tenderness so that he can change. This sort of empathy and sympathy speaks out with words of truth to set us free from sin and misery. He will discipline you as proof that he loves you. My mama sure did love me then. I'm thankful for it too. You know, we look back. Are you thankful for God's discipline? Have you ever felt like you received God's discipline? He disciplines the ones that he loves. I'm thankful for God knowing that. Such real love is you with some. Unconditional love feels safe, but the problem is there's no power in it. When we ascribe unconditional love to God, we substitute a teddy bear for the King of the universe.
How about that?
2 Corinthians 5:14. Talk about God's love. Read that together. When the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. When we read this verse, die for all to change us, no longer live for ourselves. Died for us. Something is expected. Does it work to describe this kind of love as unconditional? The terms to me seem flabby and weak in the face of God's powerful purpose for love. More to it. However, many people use the phrase unconditional love with good intentions, attempting to capture four significant and interrelated truths. First of all, we all can agree here that conditional love is not love at all, right? Conditional love says, I love you and show favor to you as long as you do what I wish or how I wish you to do something. That's not love, correct? It could be called manipulative approval, if you will. That's what it's all about. It is true that God's love is patient. He and those who imitate him forbear and endure for those who are suffering and hope. God does not give up. Can't give up. God can't fail either. I always say, no, God can't fail. Because God perseveres, his saints will persevere to the end and come through to glory. People use it to build hope over the long haul. It's true that love is God, that true love is God's gift. It is that God's initiative and choice. It isn't given out on the basis of performance. Aren't we thankful for that? How would we measure up? God says you can't earn it. Can't earn it, and we do not even deserve it. God should have took me out a long time ago, but instead he sent a son to die for me. If I give up on myself sometimes because I think, good grief, what's Jeff going to give? I'm tired of messing and waiting on him. Some days I wake up, I don't like myself. Y'all ever had that day? Why is it too hard on myself? I probably am. People use it to overcome legalism. It is true that God receives you just as you are, sinful, suffering, confused. Yes, you know, most of you know, or some of you know, that I'm involved heavily with the Piedmont Men of Steel. Piedmont Men of Steel is a ministry, 15 years old, it's in the community that helps men getting out of prison get their lives back together. After we find a job and get them kind of situated, our main reason for all of this is to develop a relationship, a redemptive relationship, and leading into knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because we know that's the way, that's the only thing that's going to set your path straight. So we accept guys with, all kinds of issues. It doesn't matter. We accept them just as they are. You said, you walk in that door, we're going to love on you. And one thing we can't do right now, and I hate it more than anything, we can't hug. Because in ministry, we hug everybody. We have a jail ministry. This is not in here, but I'll tell you, I'm talking about hugging, the power of hug. This is off in the ditch a little bit, but it's okay. They didn't give me any parameters here. We have a ministry, it's jail. We go in, I was a police chief, and I go in, and we would have graduation, and I go in there and I talk to guys, tell them how much I love them. And I give them a hug. I give all of them. Some of them are felons going off to serve a long time, different felonies, and I've had them cry in my arms. And it's the sweetest thing ever, and I miss it so much. I'm in uniform. I go in uniform specifically with a reason. I want to say, hey, I have nothing against you. I love you. I want you to see Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's all I want. I hope you never wind up here again. But that is God receiving everybody, just as you are. But that's not all he wants. We use it to overcome despair. When you feel like you can't be loved, you think you're outside of God's grace because of what you did, we use it unconditional to say, hey, we love you. Come on in. We even sing that song in Baptist churches. Just as you are. Come just as you are. No, I'm not trying for the choir. You don't want to
be
choir.
I was going to say, we'll sign you up.
Be careful. Gabe will take advantage of that. She's pretty persistent, too. We sing that, don't we? And we mean it. God says that, but it's not all. He doesn't just say, come. These are precious truths, unconditional. Actually, has a noble theological lineage to describing the grace of God. You could also say it's not just unconditional, it's unlimited. Unfortunately, the way people use the term sometimes muddies the water. Let's look at four biblical improvements. The Word tells us that the opposite of manipulation is not dispassionate complacency. Real love is kindness as zeal, self-sacrifice, and a call to change. Love is patient. Grace and gift capture the three other qualities of God's love. It's less ambiguous than unconditional. God's welcome to the godless comes with a story attached, doesn't it, though? Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. The gospel is an action story. It's clear that unmerited grace is not strictly unconditional. While it is true that God's love does not depend on what we do, but what Jesus did. We know that Jesus, in fact, the love of God described in the Bible requires two conditions. A perfect obedience and a sin-bearing substitute. Jesus, by his active righteousness, his fulfillment of God's conditions has been passed on to those who believe. Unconditional, not hardly. God's grace is something more than unconditional in another way. It is intended to change the people who receive it. Say that again. It is intended to change the people who receive it. Something is wrong with us. Not only do we need someone else to die in our place in order to be forgiven, we need to be transformed just to be fit to live with. We need to change. Unconditional may be a good word to describe God's welcome, but it fails to communicate its purpose. What's the purpose? A comprehensive and lifelong rehabilitation. When we use the word unconditional to tell people they are okay, we rob them of God's love. You turn to receive God's love. You do nothing to receive a blanket acceptance, and it doesn't take you anywhere. Say that again. You turn to receive God's love. I was walking in sin in this way. Repent means turning the opposite direction. Now I'm going this way towards God's love and plan for my life. But you do nothing to receive blanket acceptance, and it doesn't take you anywhere. Unconditional love carries a load of cultural baggage. Unconditional love is associated with words such as tolerance, acceptance, affirmation, okay. It is wedded to a philosophy that says love should impose no values, no expectations, and no beliefs on another. In today's world, the term unconditional positive regard, which says you're okay, God accepts you like you are, God smiles on you, you can relax, you can bask in his smile and let the basically good you emerge. This is a philosophy of life that is utterly at odds with God's word. The opposite of conditional and judgmental might seem to be unconditional and affirming. The opposite of unreasonable expectation might seem to be to have no expectations at all. We all know that conditional love is obviously hate and not love at all. But unconditional love, used with the meaning the term now carries, is a much more subtle deceit. It keeps company with teachings that say to people, peace, peace, as in Jeremiah, but from God's holy point of view, there is no peace. If you receive a blanket acceptance, then you need no repentance. Think about that. If you receive blanket acceptance, then you don't need no repentance. You just accept it. It fills you without humbling you. It relaxes you without upsetting you about yourself. Woe is me, they can say in the Word often. You don't get that blanket acceptance. Or the main thing, it doesn't do anything to find thrilling about Christ. It does not assist on or work at changing you. It deceives you about both God and yourself. God does not just accept me as I am. He loves me despite who I am. And I am thankful for that. A while back, we missed breakfast. We had a lesson. We were talking about the universe and God created the universe, and how we think about the universe compared to how vast it is. We still don't know how vast it is, I matters to him for each one of us. My goodness. This love is much, much better than unconditional. Maybe we can call it contra-conditional love. Contrary to what I deserve, he loves me anyway. And now I can begin to change, not to earn love, but because I've already received it. See where we're going. You know, people who speak of unconditional love often mean well, don't we? After all, we talk about come as you are. Many just want people to care for each other, but I have no doubt that the phrase has helped several people who struggle with different things, despite the riches it leaves out and the baggage it usually contains. But there's a good reason why the Bible tells the stories of amazing events, speaks in gripping metaphors, and unfolds detailed theology in order to inform us of God's love. It's because you need something better than unconditional love. You need the crown of thorns. You need the light bestowed on the dead son of the widow of Nain. You need the promise to the repentant thief. And you need to know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to know that. We need forgiveness. You need a shepherd, a father, and a savior. You need to become like one who loves you. You need to become the better love of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you folks, but as we approach Advent, and certainly Thanksgiving this week, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that amid this COVID pandemic that God's in control. Come on. Yeah, we're tired of it. I'm tired of not being able to hug. I'm tired of wearing a mask. I'm tired of not being able to get together without any fear of anything bad happening. But God's in control. God didn't wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, there's a pandemic, what am I going to do? God doesn't do that. God's in charge of all things. In charge of all things. Even down to a little speck of dust like us. He loves us, and what we do and what happens to us matters to him. I'm so thankful that God would care enough to give me something better than unconditional love. We are a work in progress, folks, for those who believe. We're being sanctified every day. We won't make it till the day we cross into glory when we'll be finished and complete. Don't beat yourself up when you feel like you've stepped back or you've fallen down or you've messed up. Or my buddy didn't make the call when he knew God was telling him to make the call. He was felt bad about it. That's okay. God says, come to me, ask for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive, it says in 1 John, and that he'll forgive us. Give us another opportunity to love someone and to be obedient. His call. God is good. We say it still. We used to say, Mason used to always start out, God is good. All the time and all the time, God is good. We say it still. God is good and his loyal love endures forever. God is good. He loves us. He wants us to change because there's something wrong with us. Sin holds us down. Sin is a jail. It's a misery. It's a place to be. God doesn't want us to be there. But until we realize something is wrong with us, and achieve God's love, and we can't change. I'd like to offer a prayer for us if you don't mind praying with me right now. God, when we think about and try to describe your love, we often feel like we fall short. It's like the psalmist David and the apostle John, we just feel like words are just not good enough. So Lord, we just say thank you. I mean the Father who stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence, loves us, each individual person. It matters to you what happens to us. It matters. You care for us. You look upon us. You are engaged with us and want a personal relationship with us. Wow. That's hard to even really sometimes wrap your mind around. Help us to understand that more every day, Lord, and not so that we can receive accolades and look like we know more than anybody else, but so we can be transformed into the image of your Son, that we can live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to you in every way, and that we can love on those in need around us. Father, give us courage to go from this place with boldness and with the certainty that you will never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us, as your word says, that we may be in